Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to Flesh Wound Horror Presents Slashtober. I am Daniel Shine, joined as always by Todd Loya.
Hello.
Pugs Dread.
Namaste. What's up?
And Mike Kruger.
What's up, guys?
Is it just me, or did it seem like when he said my name, he was yelling at me?
I gotta get it out there. I gotta channel that rage into
that. I was nice when you screwed up. I just was like, take a minute, take a beat, and start do it again. I wasn't a dick. Do I get thank you for that? No. You yell at me in the intro.
I've got to purge that rage. Otherwise, I'm going to turn into one of the characters from the films we're reviewing tonight. Nobody wants that.
We've already established you are. You're the character in every horror film that's fucking. You're the Shelley. You're the
Shelley. That's fucked up, dude. Although, let's be real. My hat in silhouette through a shower door would.
If it was really Dan instead of fucking Shelley, Jason would be currently walking around wearing a stupid fucking hat.
God damn it.
You made Jason invincible.
I think we have a graphic.
He doesn't even need the mask anymore. That could be like.
If you were him, she couldn't have got the mask from Shelley. It would have been the hat instead. There would be no mask.
All right. So.
But I want to see how they're going to like get him a new hat in like part 8. You know, just randomly find some dude wearing that.
God damn it.
You could have the Freddy claw coming out and like pulling the hat down.
You can have that hat and wear
it. I mean, isn't your hat essentially a Freddy hat?
No, it's not. It really is.
Totally different. Nothing similar at all. You're crazy over there.
The children love. No. Nah.
And Freddy's doesn't have that little string so it doesn't fall off his head.
Honestly, if you wore a white suit, though, Dan, and a red scarf with that hat, you can pull off a character later on that we're going to talk about.
Ooh. Oh, I thought you were talking Freddy. I was like, I got to drop some major weight to do Freddy. I'm more the Leatherface build, but not tall enough. So.
Butterball.
Hey, I will wear that with pride, sir.
Hell yeah. Butterball's my favorite fucking Cenobite.
I'd have to shave.
How tall are you, Dan?
5'11". So I'm
okay. So we're like the same height.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. All right. So we'll kick this off with our newer film of the evening, which is Dude Bro Party Massacre 3. And we'll explain it a little bit.
Why don't we kind of give the concept of what we're doing, Dan?
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Cause we are a little bit different tonight. So, Todd, explain Slashtober to us. You created it.
Dan, explain it. Okay, Todd, you explain it. All right. Essentially, shut up, Dan. Essentially, we're going to review 4 slashers, this show, and we're going to pick the 3 best. And then in subsequent shows, we'll add a new slasher in the mix. And then we'll decide out of that the best 3. So we'll constantly keep going and eliminating them until we hit the end of the month, and we'll go from there.
They'll be all they're our final girls.
Yes. You can say.
There you go. That'll be interesting. So we really don't know where this is all going.
No, not at all.
End up. So, all right.
And if you guys like it, we'll keep it. We'll do Slashvember. I don't know. We'll keep it going.
Yeah,
this can be pretty open ended as far as long as we want to do it.
Until I don't know, Krug comes in and you know Todd makes the call that he kills everyone.
Well, but I mean, we're trying to stay away from more the. Well, that one could be argued. It's not one of the main ones, but it's not really a slasher film either, Dan.
Krug's gonna squash like Goldberg in Todd's booking. It's just gonna be boom.
anyway. Shit, man. That would be a first. I actually get put over.
All right. So our first film, Dude Bro Party Massacre 3. All right. A satirical twist on the gory and sexually charged 80s slasher genre. Dude Bro Party Massacre 3 is presented as the only surviving VHS copy of the reviled horror franchise's third and final installment. In the wake of two back-to-back mass murders on Chico's frat row, loner Brent Chirino must infiltrate the ranks of a popular fraternity to investigate his twin brother's murder at the hands of serial killer known as Motherface. As they're picked off one by one, Brent and his fellow dude bros must face the terrifying reality that their deadly foe, believed to have been killed twice, has returned from the grave again and is hell-bent on the destruction of the Delta Boys. All right. I want to just start off. How the fuck did you get Larry King to appear in this movie? What the hell? That was so random. Welcome. I'm not criticizing it. But how do you get Larry King and Nina Hartley in the same movie?
I was going to say, you brought up Larry King first when you're like, GMILF is like present.
I love Nina Hartley. Oh, I wish you were my dean. So anyway, now that I got that out of the way, Kruger, what did you think of Dude Bro Party Massacre 3?
Yeah, I think this was my suggestion.
It was, which, and I was going to point out I didn't.
Yeah, I love this movie. It's, you know, it's not my favorite slasher, but it's a funny spoof that has like really good gore in it. And also like they nail the time period, like the way it looks and stuff. There's funny ass like commercials they throw in there too that I really am a big fan of. The Motherface thing is a cool slasher. Like I love the recap of the other two movies that, you know, don't exist at the beginning of the movie. and oh yeah, man, I really enjoy this one a lot, but like you have to have a certain sense of humor to also get some of the jokes and stuff. Like this is a stupid fucking movie. Like it is stupid as shit. So know that going in, because if you don't, you may hate this one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah, it's definitely a comedy, and it's a very unique thing that not everybody's going to fully get. But Pugs, I know your favorite comedian of all time, Mr. Patton Oswalt, is in here. your unique view of him.
Okay. That dude's a murderer, but he's just not convicted yet. But
I still don't know where the fuck that is coming from.
Pugs didn't lead with it. This is a first time watch for you too, correct? Yes. I know I am, and I believe Dan is too.
Yeah, yeah. I hadn't gotten around to watch. I've been aware of it, but I just haven't sat down to watch.
It's been sitting in my stack of to watch stuff forever. Yeah. So I'm glad Kruger moved it up to the top.
Me too. Yeah, it's for me. I think it's comedy first, but they do deliver on the fucking horror, on the gore. Because I'll be goddamn, some of that shit was fucking vile and cool as shit. So, and then also having an actual murderer in your cast is pretty gnarly too. I was laughing my ass off at a lot of the jokes. They nailed it, and then Motherface and those reveals are fucking cool, and then the twin brother thing. Yeah, this is just fucking all around fun. I'm glad you suggested this, Kruger. This is a good party movie. I'm gonna recommend it to like all my friends. Yeah,
and man, it's still fun alone. Sometimes you'll have movies that that'd be good with a group, but this one's still just as good watching it solo.
Real quick, the fact that it's an old VHS type thing with the commercials and like the track marks, that's heartwarming. I loved it.
I 100% agree. And sometimes they don't do it right. They don't nail it. This is one of those cases. It is 100% nailed. Like everything. It fits the time period. Even some of the style of humor feels like it would have been at home in the 80s. Overall, yeah. It is. No, I really like this one.
I liked when they were bitching about, you know, having to go to the lake, and then what was that line? you killed 250 people and I don't eat farts. the kills, the human kegger, there were a lot of really clever kills.
They tapped the head and handed the beer, the thing to him. That's fucking hard.
I'm just hoping another VHS tape of like Dude Bro Party 6 is unearthed.
Yeah. Right. No, this was very well reviewed. And like I said, again, who they got in this. I mean, what favor had to be called in to get Larry King to do a loop?
So fucking random.
Yeah. There were so many funny lines. I mean, with Motherface, it's raining men with the zip line. And I liked your brother is way rapier than you'll ever be.
I like that one.
The thing I like about like Motherface is that she's a mixture of like Leatherface, Jason, or not Jason, but Pamela Voorhees, fucking Freddy Krueger, and she's got like the one-liners like Freddy.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like the idea of somebody burning to death in a panty raid accident gone awry.
I think that's the exact way Dan wants to go.
If I had to. I
mean, it's not a bad way to go. Did you guys catch the backstory? What's that?
After what?
Did you guys catch the side occult backstory with Pat Oswald's character and shit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Pugs thinks that's all legit anyways.
So. I'm telling you, yeah, no. There was a time period where this man could have called 911 to save his wife. He opted not to. Murderer.
I don't buy it. He's like
the He's not him.
Look at the guy. Who is he going to fucking murder?
He didn't physically like manhandle her. His little bitch ass decided not to save her life. Killed her.
I want the full theory on this at some point.
I hope when we release this episode, Pugs, you tag him on Twitter.
Fuck well, him.
But yeah, the opinions of Pugs do not.
Watch, fucking 7 years later, when it comes out.
We're all gonna have like gray hair, and I told you it'll be the 1,000th episode. Mm-hmm. I told you, motherfuckers, that he did it. Mm-hmm. He kills like 10 cops in the raid.
His daughter's gonna find out. She's gonna start investigating when she gets old enough. I guarantee it.
There you go. You're building like a whole movie, and I don't know who plays Patton Oswalt, but there you go. So yeah, guys, this one's hilarious. Some good gore. I have one criticism, and that's that I think it overstays its welcome a bit. It runs a little bit long for me. It started to lose me a little bit towards the end. But overall, tons of great jokes. Most all of them hit. some truly, like, what-the-fuck casting. This is a fun time. But I am a 4 out of 5. What say you, Todd?
I'm a 4.5. I love this thing. I don't know why I didn't give it. It's not perfect, but it's perfect enough, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a solid 4. This is just a damn good time. I really want to watch it again.
There you go. And Krueger.
And I'm actually the lowest out of all of you guys. I'm a 3.5. No. Just because I'm not a huge spoof fan, but no. I do enjoy the hell out of this. And like, we said before, the gore and the kills on this are really, really top notch. So definitely awesome, like slasher if you're a slasher fan.
I think it's more than it's just a spoof because it's treating the material the same way it would have been treated then. So you can still watch it as a slasher. I mean, more than just a spoof, like something like Student Bodies or Pandemonium. Those are just 100% spoofs, or this one, you can at least enjoy it from the slasher point of view, which is why it's on the show.
Yeah, and you get a lot of good kills, so it'll make you smile somewhere, regardless of your tastes.
I would have gave it a half point more, but that piece of shit Patton Oswalt's in there. I'm telling you, later, like not too long from now,
he did it.
We're also gonna find out he's an Allen. People are gonna come out like, hey, he's a little piece of shit.
So, I thought that was already out there.
I always heard
Ellen was very nice. I mean, I didn't
know. She's a cunt.
Yeah, now
I heard that before. No, even before. Like she plays it up on TV, which is fine, and so does that little turd, Patton Oswalt.
He didn't kill his wife. I don't know. I'm a conspiracy guy, but I just don't I don't see him like walking in the room and like she's going tits up and him just being
pizza gay.
Yeah, it depends.
Duncan, can't wait.
Again, you don't know how much you pissed him off like the week before. Like, give it a minute. Like,
this fucking bitch keeps writing this book and my dick is still full. How dare she?
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Oh, we are horrible people.
You speak for yourself.
Oh, Pugs, you're a horrible person. I've just got this little dude, like, it's just like going around. It's more ridiculous than the premise of Dude Bro Party Massacre. I just can't see him. I don't know. All right. I'm going to have that in my fucking head when I try and do this next review. All right. So our next film from writer-director Vernon Zimmerman. This one actually comes from the 80s, 1980 to be exact. A shy, lonely film buff embarks on a killing spree against those who browbeat and betray him, all the while stalking his idol, a Marilyn Monroe lookalike.
First off, I want to say I'm sorry, Dan.
Shut up, Todd. I don't know what it's about, but shut up. That's weird for your shit, Todd.
Well, I don't want you to do the same thing to me, is all I'm saying.
I'm picturing. You don't look anything like Marilyn Monroe, motherfucker.
I
think you're good.
Well, yeah, but he doesn't just kill Marilyn Monroe. Come on. Maybe I'm the one you thought wronged you for the way I made you count to five.
Yeah, probably. You'd be on the list, but... Well, apparently I got to kill Patton Oswalt now.
Please and thank you.
Patton, if you listen to this, I am
fuck
so
him.
Fucking
oh,
sorry.
Don't address him. Shut up.
A good man, and we're making fun of you. I'm sorry. All right.
We should say also, currently available on Shudder for the first time.
Yes, currently streaming on Shudder. I got the fucking image of like Patton Oswalt is Joe Spinell now, and I can't.
Oh my god, he could be in the next Maniac reboot. I'll watch the shit out of that.
That'll be a documentary, though.
Now I can see him fucking the mannequins, but yeah.
I can actually get way worse because there's only one living vagina in his house right now.
No.
Oh.
Okay, let's move on then.
All right, before Pug says something, fade to black. All right, so I hadn't watched this one in a long time. It's been, you know, kind of a challenge to get a hold of. The DVD's long out of print. It's notable for a few reasons. One of the first appearances of Mickey Rourke, who, of course, went on to have a very good decade in the 80s before things kind of started to go down in the 90s. All right. So I love the idea of this film, a classic film lover sort of taking on these personalities. Dennis Christopher, there's another guy who was kind of a thing for a while and fell off. We get Tim Thomerson, of course, the great Tim Thomerson, who pops up here. So I kind of remember first seeing this and kind of liking the premise, but not liking the movie very much. And it hasn't changed a whole lot for me, to be honest. It doesn't quite hit the sinister notes that I wanted it to. I was never unnerved by Dennis Christopher. He's a good actor. He's been a good actor in other stuff. I felt bad for him. Now, like when he got stood up for his date and everything, I felt sympathy. But when it goes into like slasher mode, which this one does, this is no, you know, no comedy or anything. It just doesn't work. He looks like a goofball to me when he's in the Dracula makeup and everything. It just, it doesn't click for me once it goes like full on slasher. And I don't know, but maybe I'm alone on this one. What did you think, Krueger?
I actually really like this movie a lot. Okay. I'm a huge fan of character studies just in general. Mm-hmm. So, I really like that a lot. And like, we get to see him descent into madness, which I thought was really, really cool. And it escalates into like a finale that is satisfying as fuck. Like, once that final scene hit, I was like, I was happy with that. Like, there wasn't any other like way I wanted to see the movie end other than like, you know, in a big way like that. And I thought, you know, the guy playing Eric's performance was really, really good. I enjoyed all the, you know, movie references and stuff. And yeah, I don't know, man. I really, really like this one a lot.
That's cool. The finale is very good. It never got me to that point of buying him as a killer for some reason. But I did have sympathy for him. So it's yeah. What did you think, Pugs? I'm curious.
I bought him as a killer easily. He looked like a fucking school shooter before school shooters
were. Patton Oswalt's killing people.
I know he's fucking letting people die. Anyway, I think this movie's great. Anytime there's like a movie nerd in a movie, I'm gonna root for that person, even if he's a bad guy. Technically, he just got the shit end of the stick, and then he was getting some action from fucking Marilyn. I was very happy. I was like, cool. Yeah, then, you know, shit goes wrong, but whatever. This movie's really good. I think it would have benefited a lot more being like a black and white film, or like being presented in black and white, because it's felt older than what it is. Yeah, I thought it was great. I fucking love it.
Awesome. What did you think, Todd?
Yeah, I'm with the other two boys. I like this one quite a bit. I think the setting in 80s LA, though, I always like, you know, that seeing that period of stuff, seeing all the stuff back then, did help my enjoyment. But overall, I thought it was solid. But I also get where you're coming from, Dan. It could have been a little bit more to it. But yeah, what we have, I do enjoy.
Okay. So, yeah, this one, the premise is really interesting. The idea of it, I do like the classic movie angle that it comes at. There's a couple moments where it flirts with becoming a more nasty slasher. And again, this is golden era. I mean, 1980.
I mean, that scene with the fence, man, I thought was pretty brutal. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. This one just didn't click with me quite in the same way. But I did pop for the ending, the top of the world quote and everything. I thought that was pretty cool. But I can only give this one 2.5 for me. What say you, Todd?
I'm a 3.5.
Okay. And Pugs?
I'm a 4.5. I really enjoyed this one.
Oh, wow. Okay. And Krueger?
Yeah, I'm a 4.
All right, we're all over the place on this one. So, see it on streaming if you can, because, again, this is probably one for a lot of you that you haven't been able to get a hold of.
A question, though. Let's say they would have toned it down, like the slasher parts. Do you think this could have been, like, more of, like, a drama spiral out of control movie?
Yeah.
See, I think that's why I liked it a lot more, too, because I'll concede to Dan. It doesn't really feel like a slasher the whole way through, but just something about it that I think I find special. So.
Yeah, no, I can see this is one I think is going to split a lot of people, and you know, obviously did tonight. So, all right, well, moving on to our next film, which I'm going to say in advance, I am not the lead character since I know all that's going to be coming up. So I'm
allegedly
ahead of it,
because it really is.
All right, from 19
in a row. Damn, look at Dan. He's double leading on this one.
From 1982 and director David Winters comes the last horror film, also known as Fanatic in some versions. Joe Spinell plays Vinny, a cabbie with Hollywood aspirations. Determined to have Jenna Bates, played by Bond girl Carolyn Monroe, star in his first film, Vinny follows Jenna to the Cannes Film Festival, where her entourage slowly and mysteriously begins to disappear. It's time for this Hollywood scream queen to learn what true fear and paranoia feels like. Newly restored and featuring the music of Depeche Mode, the last horror film pushes the boundaries of violence, suspense, and eroticism to new extremes. Who will stand between Vinny and his star? All right. Kruger, was this a first time watch for you?
Yeah, this was a first time watch, and I'm a big fan of Joe Spinell, just like you, Todd. You know, I think pretty much everybody, you know, huge Maniac fan. So once I think Todd was the one that told me about this. Once I found out Joe Spinell did more slashers, I definitely wanted to see this. And honestly, I liked this movie, but this soundtrack on this fucker is really bad, man. And it bothered the fuck out of me. Like it was giving me a headache. The music like bothered me so much.
Did you know it's the same guy who did the Full House theme?
Yeah. Well, now Pugs loves it.
That's probably an old reference. You're the youngest guy, Kruger, but yeah.
Dan, you know, there was like a whole reboot of that, right?
Fuller House.
Yeah, I know. I don't know much about it.
But I'm saying, so it's not really an old reference.
No, that's true. But yeah, you were saying, Kruger, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, but this movie had like some really solid kills in it. Not necessarily like kills that were actually happening, but honestly, by the end of this movie, like, what the fuck is really happening? There is one chainsaw kill that was unexpected, out of fucking nowhere, and I loved it. And that's what kind of saved the movie for me, because I wasn't necessarily having the greatest time up until then. But I do like a lot of the kill scenes in it, so it's going to get a good rating for me.
I love the when the head just falls off. I thought it had a lot of really cool kills. I'll get into it, but Pugs, what say you on this one? I know you've seen Maniac, but did you see Last Horror Film?
Yeah, I've seen it before. Yeah, and I liked it then. I actually liked it kind of more this time. I think I just like movie fans in horror movies. The fact that this dude gets to go to Cannes and he wants to make his movie and he's very fucking determined, I can't root against this man. And it's played by Joe Spinell. Like, come on. Like, and he loves his mom and she's giving him a hard time, kind of. And then like the reveal kind of let me down. I think I forgave it a little more this time, but it's still like, it's a little bit of a bummer, but yeah, overall fucking solid. And my favorite scene, well, I'll wait till spoilers, but Spinell has a Dan moment on the dance floor.
I love Joe Spinell's alcohol fueled performance in this. You can see the booze coming out of the pores.
He's so shiny.
but wait, in the next one we'll tackle with him, it gets even more. You can smell the booze in that. but no, see, I get the critiques against this one, but I still just fucking love it. Is there some bad shit that doesn't make a whole lot of sense? Yes. But I love every minute of it.
The fucking bitch wouldn't understand his point.
Oh, the shower scene, I love that. Oh, fuck.
Did you pop?
Yeah, the dialogue in the shower scene is so fucking good. Like, that was the best scene in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Did you pop for sniffing the panties on the beach? That was, yeah.
Is this pretty accurate, Dan?
Huh?
Was that pretty accurate for you?
Shut up.
this whole movie feels like, fuck it, we're going to Cannes, let's make a movie.
Yeah, no, it did. I also, like, because, I mean, most people, at least listening to our show, I think have seen Maniac, but it was cool seeing Spinell kind of give a, I mean, although he was sympathetic and Maniac in his own way, but in this one, really kind of play that up a little bit. I mean, it's kind of a lighter Maniac at times. It, you know, it brings the gore when it comes down to it. It might get a little convoluted for some people with the storyline. The final scene actually is quite funny. And I love Carolyn Monroe. She's always awesome. And yeah, I miss Spinell. You know what I was thinking when I was watching this a few years later? No offense to Chris Sarandon, but can you imagine Spinell in the Fright Night role?
No,
he would have rocked that
shit. I don't see that, Dan, but I'm
Spinell is everything.
Yeah, I don't see him fitting that role, but I'm never going to complain about Spinell in anything.
Joe Spinell is sitcom dad. Joe Spinell in Everybody Loves Raymond.
No, I want According to Joe.
Dad, why do you keep killing my boyfriend?
Same cast as According to Jim, just switch them out. All the weird trivia, you know what that? Like, both of the daughters, like, quit acting after that. That's, like, their only credit.
They probably disappeared if it was Joe Spinell. That was
sorry, random facts.
That's okay. All right, so... for Joe Spinell, I gotta
give it. Instead of Seinfeld, it's just Spinell.
God, oh man, Spinell and Kramer on screen. Or Spinell.
No, if we're fantasy booking that, no, David Hess is in fucking Kramer's role. Come on.
I'm just picturing him bursting through the door.
But we're getting way off topic.
Shanking the soup Nazi and just taking his soup. Just boom, boom, boom. Just shanks him right there. All right. If you listen to Seinfeld, it was, or watch Seinfeld, it was
funny. Dude, Spinell in the pirate shirt. I can totally see it.
Did he wear it in this? I think he did.
Oh my God. That Rocky Horror moment was fucking awesome.
Dude, him dancing with the broad panties, like, this is the greatest shit.
All right, so I gotta do 4 out of 5 for Spinell. If you're a fan, this won't let you down. Again, things get a little, may not go the direction at times that you'd like it to go, but this is still, Spinell was the man. Let's say you, Todd.
Do you really have to ask? And I'm sorry, but I'm a 5. I love this one, even flaws and all.
That works. Pugs?
I'm going to accept the flaws and I only give it a 4.5. I really love this fucking movie. It's fun.
It is. And Kruger.
Like I said, the kills are really, really good, but god damn, that soundtrack really fucked me up, dog. So it's a 3.5 for me. Still definitely watch it, especially for the kills. Like, dude, that face melting scene, Jesus Christ, so good.
Oh yeah, yeah, it is. It's it's been out a little while, but get the Troma Blu-ray. Let's keep supporting Troma.
We'll talk about it later, never mind.
All right, so our final film for this evening is the 1981 film Nightmare from director Romano Scavellini. And this one, Nightmare, the low-budget 1981 horror film that fans have requested and clamored for on Blu-ray for years, has arrived. Mentally unbalanced patient George Tatum is released from a New York mental hospital, slums it up on sleazy 42nd Street, and then travels to Florida to terrorize an unsuspecting family. Brutal, uncompromising, and graphic, this is one nightmare that you'll never forget. Originally released unrated to theaters during the height of the slasher craze in the early 80s, this slasher splatter classic has garnered a huge cult horror fan base in the years since. Romano Scavolini's Nightmare delivers all the gore and sleazy thrills to satisfy even the most jaded horror aficionado. Nightmare is presented fully uncut in a widescreen anamorphic presentation. The wait is finally over, but the nightmare has just begun. All right. So a lot of history with this one. I know it's one we've talked about in the past on the show, but
and a lot of history we still don't have concrete answers for, because if you look at, I can't remember which print this one says, but some of the special effects are credited to Tom Savini. Tom Savini has said he didn't do them. Mm-hmm. Yet there's been photos of him. What?
He didn't take credit for something? Wow.
Right. And then there was photos of him on the set. I think he was a consultant, but I don't know. There's always been something weird about that. He says one thing, the producers say another thing. There's photographic proof he was there when he said he wasn't. But this print did have his name in it, correct? Because
I don't think so.
Okay, the 88, because there's two different prints. One has his name, one doesn't. I didn't pay attention on this one because I have two different Blu-rays. I think we all watch the
newest for me, yeah.
The not the Code Red, the 88 Films one actually has a little bit more gore, or a little bit more footage, not gore. There's a missing scene in the
It's like
it's like 4 seconds, but
yeah,
everyone like bitched
man ass or something.
No, Dan would get excited. No, it's just them standing outside talking.
Okay, I initially, this one has a very complicated.
I know a lot about this one.
Yeah, I know. This is Todd's jam. But Krueger, was this a first-time watch for you? I think we've all seen it before, but a first time?
Yeah, this was my first time watching this one. And, man, I was fucking impressed. Like, I really, really dug this a lot. I mean, it's obviously inspired by Maniac. Maybe a little too much to some, in some areas, but this is a disturbing, like really fucked up movie. And at times, like there's some imagery that we get at the end that's gonna go down as one of my favorite fucking kills of all time. Really like great stuff. And I love how much it built to that one scene. Like that was really, really fantastic. And also our killer, the mask he was wearing towards the end of the movie was really fucking creepy.
Yeah.
And like unsettling as shit.
Yeah.
And also this has like one of the best hammer, I'm going to go with saying the ultimate hammer kill ever.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah.
One thing you notice right away on this one is you can tell it's Italian, even though it's like American, but you can tell like the gore feels Italian. It has that Italian sensibility.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, New York set too. And how do we not talk more about Baird Stafford as the killer? Like, I feel like that's a name like nobody knows.
Well, we've been talking about it for like 3 seconds, Dan. So,
the horror community.
And, okay.
You don't hear about.
You know why? I think the biggest issue with this movie is its name. In America, it's simply Nightmare, it's hard to find. When you're looking up Nightmare and Horror, you're gonna find On Elm Street.
Yeah.
And but I mean, if you look up the Italian title Nightmare in a Damaged Brain, it's a lot easier to find. But I think the name's always kind of been an issue for it. Then there's also Nightmares, the anthology from the same 82, I think, but around the same time. So
Yeah, it is a little complicated, but I do want to throw that out there. Baird Stafford is amazing.
Yeah.
And I'll get more. But Pugs, what did you think of Nightmare?
Well, I'm going to keep it brief because you said Todd knows a lot about this. So I'm willing. I want to learn more. This movie's fucking brutal as shit. It's very it draws you in. So yeah, I thought it was really good, really fucking good, really goddamn brutal. I can't stress that enough. Yeah, I like it. This was, I think I saw it before on a bootleg. So this is my first time actually like paying major attention to it, and it's going to be in the regular rotation for a while. So, hell, Todd, what do you know?
Master, more about the release because it's kind of a weird one. Not only is there, you know, the name, but there's actually a couple different cuts of this. There's the VHS American cut, the Continental cut, was not uncut, but it was uncut in regards to gore. So there's scenes that are missing, but I'll be honest, it was fine without them. Then there was the UK cut that had all these missing scenes, but the gore cut to shit. So at some point, someone, I don't know, maybe me, I did. I made a composite to do the whole thing. So this is basically like that. So it has everything, as I've compared. So this is like the first time it's been complete, the 88 films blue. I believe we're getting another U.S. release from Massacre Video that's supposed to be the complete uncut. But who knows when. But yeah, and then the whole Savini stuff. It's got a weird history. But it's...
When did you first see it? When did you first discover this one?
Continental tape, which I did recently sell for a good amount of money. God damn it.
How'd you get rid of that then, Dot?
Because I got a good amount of money. I'm never going to watch the tape. I have... Yeah, shut up.
I get that.
The only thing I'll tell you that I regret selling are like my He-Man and my Thundercat toys. That's it. Weird.
And
I had that, the Halloween, the clown one from part one. I wish I would have kept that. The giant, like 20 something inch.
I get that.
But I don't need toys.
Until you talk,
hey man,
hitting eBay.
Leave me alone.
Hey man, you're not alone, Kruger. I got shit put in here.
Trust me, you can only see tiny slither. There's yeah.
I have some, but I'm very selective now.
I need to be more selective. I was doing good for a while, then NECA had to go and flex on me.
But now we're like completely off topic, Dan. Yeah.
All right, so Nightmare. Man, this hits all the right marks for a slasher film. Truly memorable lead performance. You feel the pain, the grime. I mean, this is 42nd Street.
The nastiness of it is what works.
Yeah, it's just a very mean-spirited, ugly, fucked up, glorious movie. The kills look like they hurt too. I mean, you could feel some of the, like Kruger was saying, the hammer, flesh being torn. You could, the only complaint maybe you could make about this is an annoying kid, but it all kind of worked.
Yeah, fuck CJ.
Dan wanted to.
Shut up. God damn.
I'm kidding. He did not.
God damn.
Oh. It was laying there. This is how dumb the kid was. His name is CJ and he played CJ. Maybe he wouldn't respond to anything else. Fucking
CJ. Dan called him BJ though.
Do you feel the director probably just got mad at him? It's like, we'll call you by your name, and just like backhanded him. you don't fuck up your lines. Yeah, man. I mean, this just has everything that you could possibly want. I think it would be even more iconic if it weren't for the troubled releases. But if you haven't had a chance to see this and you are a slasher fan, it is up there with some of the elites. And again, 81, I mean, my God, what a great year for slasher films.
You know what? I just thought of something. My first time watching it wasn't actually the Continental tape. That's the first tape I owned. I watched it. I can't remember who put it out, but it was under the title of Blood Splash. That was the first time I saw it.
Oh, okay. Okay. And you just connected with it right away. And
yeah. Then I found out it was Nightmare. And
but yeah, man, the decapitation and just
yeah,
everything. This movie is so ugly.
Yeah, that bedroom scene, man, is like one of the best fucking kill scenes I've ever seen in my life, honestly.
Yeah.
Does anyone want to place bets on what Dan's favorite scene was?
Shut up, Todd.
I'm asking them, not you. Don't make me mute you. No.
I guess it should stand out to me, but it's not.
Dan, what was your favorite scene?
I really have trouble picking it. Probably the hammer, which
I figured it was gonna be when he goes to the peep show. Oh. That show's like that's good 40.
I was gonna say I really like that scene, like when he's seizing up in it and shit.
I do too, and that's I'm surprised Dan didn't say it. And not just because of that, but it like really shows that old school 80s 42nd Street living and breathing.
I thought it had plexiglass or a glass. I didn't know they could reach out.
It may have varied from place to place.
Todd, you old bastard! Come on, give him a review.
I've never seen a live like show. Like I've never like put a quarter in. Yeah, no, I don't want to go in those fucking rooms.
Yeah.
Todd had his Porky's moment where he tried to put it in the slot and just grabbed it. And yeah,
yeah, Todd did that.
Hey, that
was asked to leave.
I'm in my 30s. That's like old school. I can't imagine, vapid.
You understand? I was 5 when this movie came out, right, Dan?
Oh yeah, whatever, Todd.
That's prime sexual years.
Oh, sorry,
25 dude, maybe.
You ever been to one of those booths, Dan?
I've been to strip clubs, but I just not like the idea of like being in a theater and just sitting there like whacking off with like other.
Well, like, you know, you could just go watch the movie.
It's a porno movie. since in the wake of Corona,
we're going to get on a totally different topic. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to go there. I'm going to show restraint.
Yeah, we'll see.
Dan.
Yeah. So, anyways,
5. Well, let's rate this pitch.
5. Yes, guys, this is a special film.
5.
It's one big hole.
All right, there we go.
For me,
perfect. Yeah, if you haven't seen this, go out of your way to watch it. It's an essential slasher if you're a slasher fan.
All right, now the big moment.
I think I'm going to be the only one arguing for Fade to Black to stay.
Out of these, that's my pick to go. I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That's my pick to go to. I think Spinell and George team up and cut poor kid's throat.
Which do you think?
My pick to go is Dude Bro.
That's what I picked to go to.
Oh, shit.
So I guess now we debate, right?
Oh, we can debate. Shit, I don't even know.
We
were not prepared for this.
But you know what? The only reason I did say earlier that I don't think Fade to Black is like a actual slasher the entire time.
I think for me, I think for me, the kills are what. And Dude Bro make it more slasher than, or fit more in with the rest than I think than Fade to Black. I think that's my only issue.
You may like Fade to Black, you may hate Fade to Black, but it is a little bit lighter on the slasher elements. I'm not saying it's not a slasher.
Yeah, right.
It is much lighter.
And that's why I'm going with the other one.
For the next movies, I probably will vote it off anyway. So.
Well, if we go by overall rating, because I gave Fade to Black 2.5, so I'm going to say that
too. Kruger, any thoughts?
Yeah, I'm honestly like I loved Fade to Black, but the more I think about it, if we're gonna go with slashers and like what makes a slasher great, Iconic Killer, Motherface versus, you know, Eric. Motherface kind of won.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry, Marilyn. I guess we're voting off Fade to Black.
But that's not like saying anything's wrong with it. Definitely still check it out. It's just I'm not going to make it bad.
And shout out to Dante for suggesting
there you
it.
Go.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, Spinell skins Marilyn and Eric hulks up and gives him a better fight than we think. But unfortunately, Fade to Black.
Well,
Fade to Black.
We know if I had it my way, the top three are all going to end. We're going to end with three Spinell films. but that's a whole nother thing.
So there we go. There's our first elimination. Okay,
so we don't know what we're going to do next, but we'll have another. We're going to go one at a time for every all the rest of the round. So we'll see what happens. What's next? What we have next? All that good stuff.
There we go.
I'm excited. Hopefully, we get some more first time watches. Well, I know Kruger will have at least a couple more, but.
Yeah, there's going to be a bunch for me, man.
Well, I'm hoping we get a couple more. All right, anything else you guys want to say before we wrap up?
Well, fuck you, Todd, again, just because you were extra brutal tonight. So
no, I don't even think I was.
Fuck Patton Oswalt.
Oh, poor Pat.
God damn.
Patton, you're a nice man. It's just conspiracy theories.
I don't know. I get he thinks his shit don't stink, too. That's what rubs me the wrong way. But anyway, I have no beef like Pugs, so
I really don't care. I just like he's a piece of shit. Yeah, you know, yeah, I got beef. Fuck that little bastard.
Damn. All right. Well, on that note, God, I've still got this image of Patton.
Do you remember what to say at the end, Pugs? You can send this out if you want.
Right. Yeah.
Dan, say bye.
Goodbye.
Todd?
Peace out.
Kruger?
Stay sick.
Namaste, my fellow flesh wound maniac freaks. Follow us, stalk us on all this social media bullshit.